From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. It's Pride Month, a time when many Americans celebrate the LGBTQ plus community and the strides made toward equality. The origin of Pride Month, however, began with riots. The Stonewall Riots in New York in 1969, where members of the gay community said enough and fought back against police intimidation. Pride Month now celebrates how far the LGBTQ plus community has come, but understands that the struggle has been hard fought and continues still. Today on Oregon on the Record, we'll check in with two organizations we talked to last Pride Month and hear how things have been going in their communities, including here in Eugene and in Central Oregon. They'll tell you that progress can at times be difficult, but they'll also speak about how some things have definitely gotten better. It's a mixed bag, and there's both optimism and apprehension about the future. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Queer Eugene advocates for the rights and equality of members of the local LGBTQ plus community. On today's show, we'll talk about how things are going, both compared to last year's Pride Month and today. Lake Castagna, the co-founder and president of the board of Queer Eugene, thanks so much for hopping on and talking with us.
Hi, thank you. Always happy to chat.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked a year ago during Pride Month last year, and I kind of wanted to ask you generally, you know, give us a snapshot of how things are going for the community.
Yeah, so I think for the local community and the larger community beyond that, I would say that day to day, I would answer differently, perhaps. But definitely, I think for local, we're trending more positively. I see a lot of community organizations, be that official nonprofits and community groups that pull themselves together without any kind of official documentation. I see a lot more of that sort of coalescing and coming together and more programs and events happening.
Okay.
And a lot of really cool things of people taking care of the community more.
Okay. If we pulled that lens out and looked at it sort of statewide and maybe nationwide, different perspective?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Statewide, I think there are some really positive things, especially compared to the national perspective. Oregon is one of the safest places to be for queer folks, especially for trans folks.
Okay.
Because there's a lot going on with other states and generally nationally. California recently stopped an initiative to restrict some of the rights of trans youth, which is a really positive one. But there are a lot of schools, their dress codes are targeting trans kids. And there's a whole mix of other things. New Hampshire ruled in a case that censorship about particular topics was unconstitutional, which is another win. And this year, Title IX was reaffirmed to provide full protection from sex-based harassment, which is a really good win. It doesn't specifically say trans staff or trans students, but that is sort of implied in that.
Okay.
But the ACLU is hoping to get that more clarified and have it be explicitly stated. There's an interesting thing with Oregon and the federal government where students are protected from negative actions, like trans students can't be discriminated against, but it doesn't stop other people from withdrawing interacting. So if you have a sports happening, a trans athlete gets to participate as they desire, but that doesn't stop other teams from saying, we're actually going to cancel this match. We're not going to interact with you.
I see. In fact, I think things like that have happened. They've been in the news where teams decline to participate because of something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With interesting things about banned books and censorship of curriculum and pronoun refusal and things of that nature, 22 states, including Puerto Rico, have not enacted anything restricting rights, but 28 states have in some way enacted legislation that affects queer folks and trans folks negatively.
Yeah. So it seems like there's some steps forward, steps back. It really is kind of I don't know what the right phrase is, but it seems like there is sort of this. It's quite the roller coaster, isn't it, in terms of victories and defeats?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a mixed bag. Yeah. And so it's hard to say which direction it goes overall.
Sure, sure. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Lake Castagna, the co-founder and president of the board for Queer Eugene. Yeah, I was going to kind of ask you that, because obviously there's been this, especially nationally, there's been, you know, businesses who've done, you know, kind of pride flag retail type things. They might have even faced some backlash. Certainly, you've heard about Target, and then there was the whole thing with Bud Light. But again, you know, and the humorist Jon Stewart did a great piece about how, you know, corporate America, I mean, they're interested in profits and they're interested in shareholders, and some of this kind of can feel almost performative. Is that your take on it as well?
100%, yes. Okay. Because in, I don't know, maybe the last decade or two, you see pride events becoming more about the floats of various wealthy companies sort of taking over. And it's definitely less about the queer community and more about who's spending money to participate and look cooler for people. You know, that's just, it's not genuine. There's no legitimate change that's happening or legitimate support of the queer community that's being given by that. It's, as you said, they are trying to make money and support their shareholders. So it only goes skin deep, really.
Sure, sure. Is in this, in hyper polarization, have you seen where support for the LGBTQ community has become as almost a reaction to what you talked about, you know, 28 states banning certain education about LGBTQ and book banning and stuff? Have you found that the polarization has also created I almost want to say a militant support of the cause and has drawn out more people to say, I'm not going to be silent?
I would say yes to that question. I know in personal relationships, in my working relationships, I've definitely had more people recognize the difficulties that, I mean, really any marginalized community, but in this context, specifically queer folks face. And with all of the things in the news, there's sort of the outrage, like, well, those are people, you can't do that. But previously, maybe that didn't even cross their mind. And I think that there's potentially an awareness coming about where people see, if that can happen to them about this, it can happen to me about this. And they sort of see the domino effect that happens or could happen. And so there's, again, more outrage growing, because if we stop this here, the chain won't continue.
So we're in 2024. You know, this is an election year, and especially a presidential election year, which, you know, many people talk about it as it might be the most important election of our lifetime. And I wanted to kind of ask you, just, you know, given both things, given the anti-LGBTQ sentiment that grips a lot of people, but also this idea of support for queer folks and everything else involved with that, are you optimistic or pessimistic about perhaps where we'll be next year during Pride Month?
I am definitely very pessimistic, because to the knowledge that I have and the perspective that I have that is also shared with me by others, it does not seem like Biden currently is very interested in protecting or supporting people in a lot of different ways. I wouldn't say, again, with the knowledge that I have, that he's actively harmful to the queer community, but also not extremely, not putting into action a lot of the things that he has said.
Okay.
And so there is that ambivalence of maybe he's saying some nice things, but where is the actual, like, physical help? Whereas we know with Trump what he thinks and what he's likely to do. So there's some kind of way that you could potentially prepare. Whereas with Biden, maybe you aren't 100% sure of what's going to happen.
What's your message to, as we're kind of in the middle of Pride Month, what's your general message for the local community about the LGBTQ plus community? You know, kind of what would you know, kind of that sort of that classic interview question. If there's one message you'd like listeners to take from our conversation, what would it be?
I would say unequivocally that people need to appreciate whatever their specific identity is, but build coalitions with the entire queer community and other marginalized communities, because the intersectional support and the way that we can support one another across our identities is going to be absolutely necessary for us to stay safe and help one another.
Very good. Very well stated. Lake Castagna, the co-founder and president of the board for Queer Eugene. We've been talking on this Pride Month day. Thank you so much, as always, for jumping on and talking with us.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really good to chat with you.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. When we come back, we'll go over the Cascades and check in on how the LGBTQ community is doing in Central Oregon. We'll now talk with leaders of Out Central Oregon who are, perhaps surprisingly, optimistic about the future. Lauren Rose and Stephanie Siebold. Lauren is the president of Out Central Oregon, and Stephanie is vice president. Thanks so much to both of you for coming on and chatting.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. We appreciate being here.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah,
Yeah, thank you.
it's Pride Month, and I kind of wanted to start with this. You know, do you find in your community, do you find that because it's Pride Month, more people are sort of observing the community that is the Central Oregon LGBTQ plus community, or do you find that it kind of comes and goes and not a lot of sort of notice in the local community?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I would say that this year in particular, there's been a marked increase of, LGBTQ plus events, activities, visibility here in the community. There's events up in Redmond, in Prineville, of course here in Bend. So we've definitely seen an increase in just overall celebration
Okay.
and visibility and inclusivity. And going as far to say that they have actually painted one of the crosswalks down by Drake Park, kind of in the middle of Bend. They've painted that crosswalk in the Pride flag.
Okay.
And that was something that the city initiated along with a number of, with two other queer focused groups here in town.
Okay.
So I would say there's an uptick. What about you, Steph?
I would agree with that. This year, we're excited to announce that Redmond, actually, the city council, started a LGBTQ plus proclamation, and the city of Bend also did the same. So even our city councils are recognizing the need to make this just a high priority.
Yeah. That's exciting to hear. You know, I also wanted to sort of ask, in addition to the municipality and certainly Bend, I wanted to ask, you know, kind of local businesses. Has it been seemingly in looking at it? And I get it. Sometimes businesses are sort of, sometimes they have been, I've even heard the term queer washing or something like that, where they're kind of doing something that hopefully drives some business, but in terms of their actual support, it might be a bit tepid. I just wanted to kind of, hear from you in terms of in the local community, is it more?
Yeah, that's a nuanced question, but okay. I would say from my perspective, I think that a lot of the organizations, including businesses that we have been talking to, everyone from really large organizations like St. Charles and Pacific Source, Mosaic Medical, Brooks Resources, big companies, to smaller, entrepreneurs, small businesses, most of these organizations are really eager to engage with the LGBTQ plus population here in Central Oregon. Mm-hmm. I personally have not really experienced or sensed any sort of queer washing, if you will, for sort of a generic term. Most people seem pretty sincere about wanting to make sure that visibility and representation is happening. Mm-hmm. We've also had a number of organizations in town reach out to us to talk about, doing workshops and how can they make their organization more inclusive. So I would actually see just the opposite, that people are really wanting to engage in ways to improve their business and organization for the people who work there and for the customers or the people that they're serving.
Okay. I'm wondering too, in terms of, I always think of Central Oregon, it's hard to sort of, I think it's hard to stereotype Central Oregon, because obviously you have it is different than perhaps here in Western Oregon, the I-5 corridor, but certainly you have, I know politically you have a fairly liberal city council in Bend, but of course, oftentimes Deschutes County is considered more conservative, and certainly, rural areas might also be considered that. I'm kind of wondering, in terms of looking at the entire community, talk a little bit about, both the positives, but also if there are challenges in terms of, the acceptance, the tolerance, just the participation, maybe the farther you get away from Bend, or is that a stereotype that shouldn't exist or isn't existing in what you're seeing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a good observation, right? Like Central Oregon is kind of a mixed area. We have really progressive, kind of forward-thinking liberal people here. We also have, sort of a more conservative group of folks. But what's kind of interesting and cool about Central Oregon is there's a lot of people who kind of cross both of those divides, that maybe on the surface they appear to be more conservative and liberal, but they are actually, more progressive in thought than you might picture on the surface.
Okay.
So we do have a real diversity of people here in that sense. Mm-hmm. I would say, though, at the same time, just to be forward about it, we still do see a lot of homophobia here, and racism for that matter. So there is still a lot of work to be done. I think that's really why folks like myself and Steph and other people who are involved with other organizations are here trying to do the work, because there is still a lot of work to be done around, providing support, whether that's through resources or through social gatherings, to make sure that people are resourced, connected, and are able to find joy in their lives and building that sense of community. There is still work to be done here.
Yeah, yeah. Let me reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking with Lauren Rose and Stephanie Siebold. They're with Out Central Oregon. Lauren's the president. Stephanie is the vice president. Stephanie, one thing I think is interesting of celebratory months like Pride Month, it's obviously a great time to celebrate and to take stock in a movement, but it's also a good opportunity to kind of measure, in terms of How do you feel like maybe progress is being made in your community, you know, thinking back to last year or the year before? You know, talk about some of the maybe the most visible aspects that you can see where progress is being made.
Yeah, that's really great. I feel like this year, looking back at the last 2 years, this year, I feel like Central Oregon has really expanded our queer footprint, if you will. I have noticed, you know, more queer organizations coming into the picture. We have been partnering just even within the last couple of months, partnering with other queer organizations in Central Oregon to help create visibility and create advocacy for our community, because that is it's just so important to be able to be visible in so many ways. And so we had Pride, Ben Pride Coalition, which is another queer organization here in town, put on Ben's Pride celebration this year, and Drake Park was packed. And it's been so great to see how our community keeps coming together. Back in March, Out Central Oregon put on Winter Pride Fest. We had, you know, over 1,200 people participate in Winter Pride Fest, and there were so many queer activities that were happening. And that just feels really, really good to, you know, to have multiple activities, queer activities in our community that, you know, we can decide to participate in. And I think that's something that we want to continue to see happen outside of the month of June. We are proud all year long.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we're continue to create that visibility in our community. And not just in our you know, more urban areas. We have a responsibility to our rural areas as well. Out Central Oregon supports 3 counties. So Deschutes, Jefferson, and Crook counties. So a majority of that is a very rural area that does not have as much visibility and honestly resources. So I feel like we are going to just continue to grow as we increase our partnerships and increase our visibility and advocacy.
Yeah. Well, that's very encouraging to hear. Thanks so much to both of you for jumping on and talking during Pride Month and talking about the progress that's being made in Central Oregon. We've been speaking with Lauren Rose. She's the president of Out Central Oregon, and Stephanie Siebold. She's the vice president of the board for Out Central Oregon. Again, thank you both for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, in our normal time of 2 p.m., we'll run a special show celebrating Juneteenth. Notes from America with Kai Wright is a program celebrating the legacy of Texas Congresswoman Barbara Jordan, who shaped the potential and the power of the Black vote in our nation. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.